Welcome to Family Worship Radio, hosted by Lee Dodd, where we dig into the Bible and other great books just as we would in a family worship setting. You can utilize this podcast as the content of your family worship, or simply use it as an aid in your preparation. Let's get started.
Welcome back to our study of Proverbs. In this episode, we will be looking at chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, picking right back up where we left off. Just two verses in this episode, and I will read sacred scripture now. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. I once preached a sermon titled, Covet, Correction. I actually didn't use this passage in Proverbs 3, though I did reference it in the sermon. I was preaching from a text in Job chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, which are very similar. They read, Behold, blessed is the one whom God reproves. Therefore despise not the discipline of the Almighty. For he wounds, but he binds up. He shatters, but his hands heal. These texts and others in the scriptures, like Hebrews chapter 12, are full of encouragements to believers to not reject God's correction, but to embrace it and to benefit by it. The fact of the matter is, every one of us stands in need of correction. Even the aged saint still struggles against sin and lives simultaneously as saint and sinner. Thus, God is always at work in our sanctification, ever so lovingly reproving us, rebuking us, and correcting us as his children. And this is not something Christians should fear. We want God's preserving influences and correcting influences in our lives. This is God restraining sin in our lives and purging sin from us. And why do we want this? Because the regenerate heart hates sin and loves righteousness. Thus the Christian should anticipate and embrace God's correction. Yes, we should even covet it. Think of it from God's perspective. His purposes in correcting his children. Number one, certainly it is for instruction. Just as an earthly father will correct his son or daughter when he or she errs, so that she doesn't make the same mistake again. Our Father in heaven corrects us. This is a part of our sanctification, a part of our growth in grace. If God left us to ourselves, then we would be in a despicable condition, never growing, never maturing, never attaining higher degrees of holiness. We need God's instruction. John Gill comments, saying, Affliction is a school of instruction, in which the saints learn much of the mind and will of God, and more of his love, grace, and kindness to them, and are enriched with a larger experience of divine and spiritual things. Sure, correction is truly one of the most difficult aspects of walking with God. Yet, it is one of the most helpful aspects in the ongoing work of our sanctification. Secondly, the discipline of the Lord shows us as his children his fatherly displeasure. When an earthly father is grieved over the disobedience of a child, the child can take one look at their father and see it on his face. And so it is when the children of God come under the rod of the Father's correction. They realize that they have not pleased their perfect Father in heaven. This is part of relating to our Heavenly Father. We ought not think it strange. He is grieved over our sin. His holiness demands that he grieve over our sin. Thirdly, God purposes through correcting us to purge sin from our lives. It is much like the refining of gold, which has to be warmed to a temperature of 1,947 degrees so that the dross, the impurities of the gold, are melted or burnt out of the gold, and thus the end product is more pure gold. The fire of God's affliction does this kind of good in our lives and cleanses the believer from much sin. Afflictions and corrections wean us from temporal things and the love of this world, and they bolster our hatred of sin. Joseph Carroll, the Puritan, said, "Corrections are not sent to take away our comforts, but to take away our corruptions." A fourth comment that I want to make regarding God correcting His children. In correcting us, He shows us His tender and loving heart. If He as our Father refused to correct us when we go astray, what kind of Father would He be? This would be much like the sin of Eli when he corrected his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Eli issued a verbal rebuke, but did not care deeply enough to restrain them from their evil ways. Where Eli failed, God the Father never fails. He loves us too deeply to fail us here. And thus we read in Hebrews 12, verse 6, "For the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and chastises every son whom He receives." When the Father corrects His dear ones, He is saying, "I love you too much to allow you to continue in your sinful ways. I must mold you and conform you to the image of my only begotten Son, so that you might share in my holiness and my happiness." God is expressing deep love to us when He corrects us in our sin. Our Father's rod is always dipped in honey, and after the bitter pain of correction comes the sweet joy of communion. Correction is not a time when the Father distances Himself from His children, but rather a time where He draws near and more vividly expresses and shows His great love for us. This assures us of our sonship. Yes, God's correction is a confirmation that we are sons. We have been adopted. His affection is all over us. Again, Hebrews 12, verse 7, "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons." So under the Father's rod of discipline, we are freshly reminded of our place in His kingdom as the children of God. What a joy to think on these things, and more importantly, to learn to receive correction with the right heart, and to see the great good that God is working in it. That concludes our study today in Proverbs chapter 3. Thank you for listening to Family Worship Radio. God bless you.